Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to continue with Rabbi Paul's second letter to Messiah's community in Corinth and God's holy people in Achaia. The main themes we'll be looking at this morning: praising God for overcoming troubles. We began that last week. I'm going to review it. When we are comforted in our troubles, we can comfort others. The degree of suffering and comfort are related. Troubles teach us to rely on God. We are to pray for those who serve God and are in danger. Paul and his evangelistic team, his missionary team, had experienced tremendous opposition, even deadly opposition from adversaries in Ephesus and elsewhere, and they had experienced disheartening opposition from people in Messiah's community in Corinth. But God had helped them overcome all the opposition. The opposition from the non-believers in Ephesus had now lessened. The man in the Corinthian community, the ringleader who was creating division in the community by stirring up opposition against Paul, had repented of that very damaging sin. And the rest of the community was now loyal and devoted to Paul, as they should have been all along. It was right to thank God for helping them overcome the opposition and use their experience of victory to encourage others. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. In some ways, those who are saved will experience fewer troubles in life because many troubles can be avoided. There are troubles that result from not ending our part in the great rebellion against God. You keep on rebelling against God, you are adding to your troubles. There are troubles that result from disregarding the wise teachings found in the Word of God. Those who end their rebellion against God and are obedient to the Word of God should not make as many of the same foolish mistakes, which create troubles, as those who continue to rebel against God and His Word. Makes sense, right? Certain troubles are entirely avoidable. However, the followers of Messiah will experience other kinds of troubles, troubles that the world will not experience. Messiah told us that following Him means taking up our cross. Taking up our cross means trouble. Those who follow Messiah will experience the opposition of a world that is still in rebellion against God. The world hated Messiah, and the world will hate us. The servant should expect to be treated the same or worse than his master. If the world crucified Messiah and He is perfect and righteous, how do you think the world will treat us? God does not promise to eliminate troubles from our lives. He promises to help us through our troubles and comfort us in our troubles. It is normal to ask God to help us avoid troubles. He may answer our prayer and enable us to avoid some troubles, but he will not enable us to avoid all troubles. Then, when we do experience trouble, it is normal for us to ask God to immediately remove the trouble from us. God may or may not do that. He may remove the trouble, or he may allow the trouble to continue for a while, or he may allow the trouble to continue for even a longer period of time. It's normal for those who are experiencing troubles to think that God does not care about them or is not concerned about their suffering. That is not true, however. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of compassion. God the Father is the Father of compassion. He is the source of compassion. He created compassion. He knows compassion. He has compassion. That means that he is aware of our troubles, our hurts, our suffering. He feels our pain and wants to do something to alleviate our pain. That is his nature. He is the Father of compassion. His compassion is not limited to some of our troubles. His compassion extends to all of our troubles. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. No matter what trouble we are experiencing, the God of all comfort can alleviate the suffering, diminish the pain, help us deal with the troubles, give us comfort in our afflictions. Most people think that experiencing trouble is all bad. That is not true. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. If we remain faithful to God through our troubles, and he enables us to overcome our troubles, like he did with Paul and Timothy, we come out better, stronger, holier than we were before. And we have more experience enduring troubles, and we become more compassionate, more sympathetic to others who are experiencing troubles, and we are better equipped to comfort others who are experiencing troubles. Going through troubles is not 100% bad. There is a silver lining. Knowing this enables us to endure, persevere, even praise God in our troubles. And that's a great thing. Paul and Timothy now teach Messiah's community in Corinth and God's holy people in Achaia more about suffering as a follower of Messiah. Just as those who are forgiven much love much, those who suffer much for serving Messiah receive much comfort from Messiah. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Messiah, so also our comfort abounds through Messiah. There are different kinds of suffering. Christians and Messianic Jews will suffer simply because we live in a fallen world that is under a curse. In a fallen world that is under a curse, bad things happen to everyone, including the followers of Messiah. The sufferings of the Messiah, however, are a very specific kind of suffering. And that's what Paul and Timothy are talking about, the sufferings of the Messiah. The sufferings of the Messiah are the same kind of sufferings that the Messiah himself experienced. Yeshua, although perfectly righteous, and although he only spoke the truth, was opposed, persecuted by the majority of his generation. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. These are the sufferings of the Messiah. If we serve Messiah the way we should, by living like Messiah lived, by proclaiming the same truths that Messiah proclaimed, we will suffer like Messiah suffered. These are the sufferings of the Messiah. This is what Paul and Timothy experienced, not to a small degree, but to a great degree. They shared abundantly in the sufferings of the Messiah. And they are letting God's people know that to the degree that they shared in the sufferings of the Messiah, they experienced the comfort of the Messiah. Suffering for the Messiah has a way of bringing people closer to the Messiah. Paul and Timothy found that the more that they suffered for Yeshua, the closer Yeshua was to them, the more his spirit filled them. The promises of life in heaven with Messiah and the rewards Messiah will give to those who serve him became even more real to them, more precious to them. And that comforted them. Suffering for Messiah has a way of bringing us closer to Messiah, which comforts us. And suffering has a way of refining us. It burns away the impurities, and we come out more like our holy Messiah. And that comforts us. So, just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Messiah, so also our comfort abounds through Messiah. And this has been the experience of the followers of Messiah throughout the centuries. To the degree that we share in Messiah's sufferings, we share in the comfort that Messiah gives. The more suffering, the more comfort. Suffering isn't enjoyable. Our natural inclination is to avoid suffering. Who wants to suffer? Because of this, many Christians and Messianic Jews do not serve the Lord the way they should, proclaim the gospel the way they should, stand for the truth the way they should. But knowing that to the degree that we share the Messiah's sufferings, we will share the Messiah's comfort. Knowing this frees us to be bold, to be courageous, to be fearless, to stand against the majority, to proclaim the good news about the Messiah the way we should to a world that opposes Messiah and will be hostile to us. To have values that are different from the world's values. To live lives that are different from the world. Paul and Timothy give more encouragement to Messiah's people based on their experience of suffering and receiving comfort. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. This is great. It is so encouraging to have leaders who are so courageous and who let those they lead know that no matter what happens to those leaders, they will experience benefits. The people they lead will experience benefits. Whether the leaders experience troubles or victories, the people they lead will benefit. That's what Paul and Timothy are saying. If Paul and Timothy had to experience more suffering for the sake of Messiah, okay, they would receive more comfort from the Messiah, which would enable them to comfort the rest of Messiah's people. They would be able to help God's people so that they would be better able to remain firm in their salvation, better able to patiently endure the same sufferings Paul and Timothy patiently endured. So no matter what happened to Paul or Timothy, whether distress or comfort, God's people would benefit from their experience. How encouraging. Paul and Timothy expressed their confidence that Messiah's community in Corinth and God's holy people in Achaia were now prepared to suffer, to endure, and be victorious. They continue, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Paul and Timothy believed that any sufferings the Corinthians and the Achaeans would experience would not defeat them, cause them to deny the Lord or renounce the faith. If they experienced the sufferings of the Messiah like Paul and Timothy did, they would now receive the same comfort that Paul and Timothy did, and they would be victorious like Paul and Timothy were. That's encouraging. Paul and Timothy share more about the degree of their sufferings. How much trouble did they experience? How bad can things get for the faithful servants of Messiah? Things can get very bad. Very close to death bad. Despairing of life bad. But they also may experience amazing victory. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Asia is not what we think of as Asia today, like China and, you know, Thailand, Cambodia. Asia at this point is the region east of the Aegean Sea. It's the same area as present-day Turkey. Ephesus, which was a major city in the area, was there. After Paul and Timothy left Corinth, they went to Ephesus and proclaimed the gospel there. In Ephesus, Paul's life was in constant danger. He tells us earlier in 1 Corinthians that he fought wild beasts there, either literally by being arrested by the authorities and placed in the arena to fight wild animals, or figuratively, the wild beasts referring to vicious people who were trying to kill him. Paul faced life-threatening danger in Ephesus. What follows may refer to that, or it might refer to another deadly trial they experienced in Ephesus or somewhere else in Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure. ESV, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. NASB, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Paul and Timothy were under so much pressure, were so utterly burdened, were being persecuted so thoroughly. Things were so dangerous, they were sure they were going to be killed. They felt like a judge had already sentenced them to death. Why does God allow those who serve him so well, like Paul and Timothy did, to suffer so much, to experience such great danger, to come so close to death? They tell us. To teach them to rely on God. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. When things are going well for us, we think we are in control, and we rely more on ourselves, and we rely less on God. Is that not true? It is absolutely true. When we are experiencing troubles, serious troubles, troubles that are beyond our ability to control, troubles that threaten to overwhelm us, we realize that we are not in control. And we rely more on God and less on ourselves. And this is a very important lesson for us to learn. Because the truth is that apart from God, we can do nothing. He created us. He redeems us. He sustains us. He empowers us. He protects us. He guides us. The more we understand this, and the more we rely on him and not on ourselves, the closer we will be to God, the more wisdom and strength and endurance we will have, the more effective we will be, the more successful we will be. Make sense? God uses trials, troubles, persecution, suffering to increase our reliance on God. And reliance on God is one of the greatest things, most valuable things, most necessary things. The greater the danger, the closer we come to death, and God saves us from that situation, the more we grow in our reliance on God, and the more we are aware that he is God who raises the dead. This happened, they write, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The more desperate the situation from which we are rescued, the more confident we become that God has great ability to save. He can rescue human beings from very bad situations, desperate situations, even the worst possible situation, like being dead. If God can rescue someone from death, can he rescue you from your situation? That's encouraging. Why does God allow those who serve him to experience deadly peril and then save him from it? They tell us. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. The soldier who has faced one great battle and won has more confidence when he is facing a second great battle. The Lord's servant, who has been delivered from a very deadly peril, has more confidence that God may choose to deliver him again from another deadly peril. And that confidence gives him courage to face the future. God does not want to be the only one involved with the deliverance, the rescue of those who are serving him and who are in danger. We are to be involved also by means of our prayers. He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Those Christians and Messianic Jews who are out there taking the big risks, giving their all, facing opposition and danger, are to be helped by God's people through our prayers. That tells us that our prayers are important. Our prayers can incline God to save people like Paul and Timothy from the most deadly peril. This should inspire us and motivate us to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially those who are putting themselves at risk. Missionaries, evangelists, ordinary Christians and Messianic Jews living in countries that oppose our faith, places like China and Pakistan and Cuba and Iran and Saudi Arabia. God and his people are to work together for the help and the deliverance of those courageous servants who are serving God. And when God answers our prayers and helps those we are praying for, we are to give thanks. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. We thank God when he hears and answers our prayers and rescues those who are in a dangerous situation.